be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went up the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew; Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus; Simon, who was called a Zealot; and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's always an extraordinary grace when we have a chance to celebrate the feast of any saint, but especially the real pillars, as we heard in today's first reading from the Ephesians, on which our faith is built. It's a sign for us that in generations to come, others may be worshiping likewise because of the solidity of our faith, on which future generations likewise were able to be built. So on this feast day of Saint Simon and Jude, I'd like to focus with you on 5 things. The first is their vocation and what it means for our vocation. Jesus spent the night in prayer to his Father. And then he came and he called the 12 by name. Our vocations have likewise been born in the prayer of Jesus. In the prayer of Jesus. It wasn't a whimsical decision. Just get me one more. I got to put somebody in. He chose us prayerfully. What an extraordinary confidence we get from that fact. Prayerfully, he chose us for a reason, just like he chose them for a reason. We can fail him the same way they did. All 12 basically abandoned him on Holy Thursday, but 11 of the 12 came back. And Jesus continues to pray that we will remain faithful when we fall. We see during the Last Supper, he turned to Peter and said, I'm praying for you, singular, Peter, that your faith may not fail. But he knew it would. But when you convert, strengthen your brothers. So likewise, Jesus is praying for us despite all our failures. So we shouldn't be afraid of him, because he wasn't afraid of them when he called us. It's the first thing we learn from the calling of the apostles. The second is that Jesus chose them from among his disciples. That word disciple means student. They were the ones who were already listening to the Lord and letting the Master teach them, letting the Master form them. They were the ones who were looking to him as the one who had the words of eternal life. Likewise for us, the Lord called us to the priesthood and to religious life from within our primary vocation to be a holy disciple. He had already formed us in the capacity to be able to say yes. And it's so important for us, in order to live out our vocation, that we focus on that holy discipleship. What we have in common with every one of the baptized, that the Lord is, through the ordinary things of human life, calling us to unite our life totally to his. So many of the difficulties that come in the priesthood and religious life come not because of the priesthood and religious life proper. Comes because at some point we stopped living as holy disciples within that call, within a call. Where we stopped even living the Ten Commandments sometimes. where we stopped hungering for the Word of God, when we stopped the basic things of the theological virtues. With Simon and Jude, we see that the Lord's constantly calling us within our discipleship. And He urges us to live that discipleship well so that we can respond more and more promptly and fully. Third thing we learn from them for us is that He called them and named them apostles, literally those having been sent. St. Mark will tell us in 3:14 that Jesus called them to be with Him and so that He might send them out. Send them out changed by their presence with Him, and send them out in a sense with Him. That once they've got that communion that comes through discipleship, they're now capable of being sent out to bring Christ to others, because Christ remains. He remains in their habits. He remains in their mind. He remains in their words. He remains by grace within their souls. The Lord likewise sends us out constantly. Now, for those of us who are extroverts, no big whoop. But the Lord calls many introverts who struggle in the challenge to go on out. But we don't go out alone. We go out together with Him, which is what gives confidence. And if we're going out without Him, we're not really going to be successful in the mission anywhere near like He wants to be. So we recognize that He calls us and He sends us out, that He does have these particular missions, and they might not be the most dramatic. Might be He just wants us to cross the hall of the convent to care for the sister who's under the weather. Might just be He wants us to cross the refectory and clean up after the sister who got distracted and just left her whatever there. Might be that He sends us out to do an errand that, according to our humanity, is least pleasant of all. But He's constantly bringing us to Himself as disciples and sending us out as ardent apostles together with Him. We're never going to be able to save the world unless intentionally, and then for us in active vocations, physically, we're going out together with Him to that world. Simon and Jude did, all across the world, in assignments far more challenging than ours. Where so often when somebody sees us in clerics or you in a habit, they have a whole history of priests and religious who are good to them, so they know how to relate to us. Nobody knew how to relate to Simon and Jude, and yet constantly they went out so that this great mystery of divine election, of discipleship, of apostolate could be recapitulated in so many. Fourth thing we see is their martyrdom. Each was martyred. And the reason why they were martyred was they were capable of it because they were constantly dying to themselves so that Christ could live. Even in leaving all things in order to be able to follow the Lord, there was already that type of death to self, so that Christ Himself could reign. And for us, having no idea of the future, they didn't know the future when Jesus was sending them out. They just had a promise, the same promise that Jesus has given us. If they did it to Me, they'll do it to you. Truth Himself said, if they hated Me, they're going to hate you. You're going to have to pick up your cross every day, which isn't just an added little mortification to offer up. A cross is an instrument of death. You're going to have to pick up your cross every day and follow Me. And that's the greatest preparation if we do it well, that if we're actually going to be hammered to a steep base in a patibulum, that we're ready. And at the end of their life, they were able to punctuate it with the exclamation point of fidelity, because each day they were giving that type of witness, that the one who would come into the world and taken on our nature to give it, dying for us so that we might live, is in turn worth living and dying for. And they were capable of this type of martyrdom because of the resurrection. Prior to the resurrection, it was a challenge for them. It was a particularly heroic faith. But after Jesus had risen from the dead, they realized that even when people conspire to murder us, they can't really murder us. At the end of the day, God will raise us from the dead. Evil will not have the last word. It will not triumph. And so they were able to go with holy parousia, even into the roughest of circumstances, to give witness to the Lord because they were unafraid. The Lord wants to give us the grace of the same boldness, the martyrdom of each day, the death to self that He's giving us as a grace if only we embrace it, and the courage precisely to be able to do this every day. Last point I'll mention is their intercession. It's funny, by God's plan, that these two are the two last apostles named right before we get to Judas Iscariot, whose name will always live in infamy. They're at the end of the list. I don't know all that much about them. We do know that Simon is... the adjective with him was Qana, Q-U-N-A, which means zealot. He was a member of this political party who the first thing he should have done when he saw St. Matthew called was go and punch him in the nose. But he embraced him. That's all that we know about him. About Judas, the only thing we know is what his dad's name was. There were the ancient writings about the places of their martyrdom, but everything else were written in the legends afterward. But we do know what they did in building the faith. They were these pillars. The way we know them far more is what's happened after death. How is it that Judas, the son of James, has become, out of all 12 of the apostles, even more than St. Peter, the go-to guy for impossible causes? By God's own will, He was taking him and elevating him so that prayers made through His intercession throughout the world are heard, so that there are so many novenas. This began at the place of His tomb in Syria, where people were bringing Him great intentions, and they were being answered, and the devotion spread from the Middle East all across the world. But each of them remains at the Lord's right side in heaven, waiting for us to beg for their intercession, so that we might be as grateful for our calling as they were for theirs, as holy in our discipleship as they were, as ardent in our apostolate, as all in and our daily martyrdom. And they also want to teach us how to intercede for others and for the whole world, constantly knowing that the Lord who called will respond to those prayers. You know, St. Simon and Jude, if they were able to raise the dead in the name of Jesus even before His resurrection, why would they ever hesitate to ask Him to heal somebody of cancer? Small change compared to what the Lord had already done for them. When I ask for things, no matter what I ask for, I know that it's really, really minuscule compared to the way that the Lord, in a sense, obeys me when I say, this is my body and this is the chalice of my blood. Being His instrument by which Jesus can speak those own words, everything else is small. Likewise for you, as the Lord's special chosen beloved bride, how can He refuse you? He couldn't refuse His mother. How could He refuse you? Seriously. And so intercession is their last gift. Simon and Jude remain among the humblest of saints. Do you know where they're buried? Probably not. But I think many of you have been at their tomb. If you've ever gone to St. Peter's Basilica, you know where the Baldachin is, where St. Peter is buried. They're off on the transept to the left, where you've got the mosaic of St. Joseph, and you've got a tabernacle over there. And daily masses are often celebrated there, but they're buried right there together because their relics were taken from the Middle East when the Muslims were starting to take over the whole region so that their tombs wouldn't be desecrated. And they were brought to safety and they were buried together in Rome, there at St. Peter's. And the reason why we celebrate them together, it's not because they died together, not because they died in the same date in two different locations. It's because October 28th was the day that they were interred together at St. Peter's. But so very few people know where these two apostles are. And even today at St. Peter's, it used to always shock me when I would visit their tomb on their feast day. Most people had no idea the two apostles were there and it was their feast day. Yet, I think by God's plan, He wants them, in a sense, to be humble saints like this so that none of us will be afraid to approach them. So that each of us, in finding their tomb, will recognize that we've found a treasure that others might not yet know. So that we would be able to take advantage. And I've had the joy on several occasions to celebrate Mass on their tomb. I've always thought how precious it is to be able to do that. That here were two men who were present in the upper room when Jesus, for the first time, took bread and wine into his hands and totally changed them into himself and said, "Take and eat, take and drink." They are still at Jesus' side at the eternal wedding banquet for which this Mass is a foretaste. And we ask them never to cease praying for us, that we might join them there with all those for whom the Lord in his prayer before the foundation of the world, before we were even conceived, has ordained for us to meet so that we might bring them him and together with them come to that place where Simon and Jude now forever rejoice. Their message went out to all the world, and now it's our time to live and echo that same saving word. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.